have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith and joined by my good friend Jay Cranda. Jay, welcome to 2016 and the Social Media Church Podcast.
I am so pumped for 2016. And I want to thank everybody who listened in 2015 to our show. It was such a fun year. We had so many things from the show growing to we launched our Social Media Church Basic course. And on our previous show, we talked about the launching of the blog, which is happening. And so many great things. So I want to kick off real quick.
Yeah.
Christmas happened. Did you get any cool tech for Christmas?
I got a couple of things. My in-laws actually were the ones that hooked me up. It was like a direct ask, though, a request. So they got me the new Apple case with the charger built into it. Which I'm always carrying around the little Mophie. I've got like two. I actually have them sitting right next to my desk. Two little mobile chargers that I carry around with me everywhere, just in case. If I get under 50%, I get the shakes on my phone. So that's a huge one for me. And then I've got a new Bose headphones, and so sweet. They gave like a gift card for headphones, and I want the Bose Soundtrue headphones. And
yeah,
big fan of them. Really like them.
I've gone through a couple noise canceling headphones, and I had one of the bigger pairs of Bose, and I actually bought them on eBay, and it was dumb because they broke like 3 months later. It was like, oh, let me save, you know, yeah, $50, and I lost, you know, $100. Stupid me. But I'm a big fan of Nest, so I have the Nest thermostat.
Yeah,
two Nest cams, and right. We just finally made our Nest family complete, and we got the smoke detector.
Nice, congratulations!
So now my Nest family,
connected home.
Yeah. So for those who are not aware, we have a previous show where we talk about the Nest Cam and everything there. But you know, Nest was a guy left, who developed really the look and everything for iTunes, left and started this company, and Google bought them out. So now it's kind of becoming Google's home connected system. That's what they're kind of building it up to be. But I love it. I love the cams. It all works in one app and we can control our thermostat. But what's cool about the smoke detector is my grandma always gets me something and I never know what to do. I always have this problem with Christmas that I think everybody who's an adult has a problem, is that like, if I want something, I just go buy it because I'm an adult and that's what adults do.
Right.
And so when Chris comes along, I don't know what to do. So I was like, oh, I want this Nest thermostat. I want this Nest smoke alarm. And so got it, installed it, super cool. The coolest feature, Nils, the coolest feature, which you don't even think about, it does carbon monoxide and all that stuff and smoke detector.
Okay. But
at night, when you walk down the hallway, it's also a nightlight. So when I'm walking down my dark hallway at night, it automatically knows it's dark, obviously, and then it lights up the hallway. So it provides natural, it's motion detect light. It's very subtle. And then before the night, also before like around like 9 p.m. or something, or when I walk down there like the last time, it glows green and it gives me the security that the battery is going to last the night. So it kind of it's a really intuitive thing. It's obviously not a need for anybody, but it's definitely a cool thing. I was actually also looking at, I wanted to get maybe some switches that were like Wi-Fi enabled that I could do stuff on my phone, but I'm holding out. I really want Nest to like develop something that works more organically. And I really think, Nest is knocking it out of the park with all this. So like, as much as I'm an Apple fanboy, I love Google's like home system. I just really love the look. Obviously I'm running it from my iPhone, but anyways, that's what I got.
We're loving the Amazon Echo in our home.
Mm.
Don't have any of the devices that connect to it. So I've been looking at light bulbs. So you can have like LED light bulbs and you can like set the mood in your house. And it will like do different colors and they'll do all kinds of things. And so we love the device as a standalone device, but we know it can do so much more. And so we're eager to kind of dig into that with the Echo and see what develops. So that's pretty cool though with the Nest. I'm envious, and I'll probably be joining your Nest family soon.
It's the best. So with that, a couple things we want to talk about mainly today. We want to talk about kids and technology.
Yep.
We have kids. There's definitely ways to integrate it. I think there's some things the church can learn a lot in, and there's also some challenges. So, but before that, I wanted to just spend a couple minutes talking about Apple TV. You know, there's been like an explosion in the last couple weeks of just tons of new apps getting on there. Have you had more time to use your Apple TV in the last couple weeks?
Yeah, you know what's funny, and it kind of connects to the show, is that my kids probably play with our Apple TV more than I do. And I think it's the fun thing when you look at Apple, it just has such a gaming culture connected to it, the iPhone and all the games, Candy Crush and everything else connected to the iPhone, that the games have been probably the most popular thing on the Apple TV. But it's so fast. There's new apps being added to it every day. My one complaint is it doesn't have Sling TV, which we watch a lot of. ESPN is on there. So we're still using our Roku and Amazon Fire TV for Sling, but you know, we're liking the device more and more. We're loving, you know, I've got the remote here. The little remote is so intuitive, and the way it kind of can feel your navigation. So we love the device. The game that that we you know, my 6-year-old daughter is hooked on is Mr. Crab.
Yeah.
So Mr. Crab, and I say my 6-year-old, my wife gave me a hard time. My 6-year-old was taking a nap and I was playing Mr. Crab in here by myself. And so it's not just my daughter that's addicted to Mr. Crab. I am also addicted, but you know, love the device. I will tell you the thing that interests me about the device is obviously you and I are pretty hands-on with development with tvapp.church. And if you're not familiar with that, Jay and I are working on a project with some friends called tvapp.church to provide affordable apps, you know, affordable and excellent apps for churches. And so check that out, tvapp.church. But I think what I'm really interested to see is the hardware that will connect to it. And so Guitar Hero has a guitar that connects via Bluetooth to the Apple TV, and you can play Guitar Hero. That's awesome. You know, the way the phone will connect to the Apple TV already is pretty tremendous. But I expect, you know, I can't believe we don't already have webcams that are connected to it. But what other hardware, there's gaming devices, you know, gaming remotes, controllers that connect. But what other hardware will be able to connect to it is going to be really interesting to see. What are you excited about and as you've gotten to know kind of the new Apple TV and what's coming?
It's just obviously the App Store, which, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's just, you know, I have a Roku, I have an Amazon Fire TV, a Chromecast, all that stuff. And, you know, the one complaint is that it's just very limiting. Even, you know, I have smart TVs. I have two smart TVs and one of them is a super nice TV, and the App Store is pathetic. The browser is compelling.
Yeah. But
there's just that's the issue, is that like, okay, who's really going to like, who's going to explode in this area? And it's just, even for churches, I remember talking to a company about getting on even smart TVs, and it was like, because there wasn't enough usage, it was like, you know, $50,000 to just get on. And then there's so many models and it's so fragmented. And so with, you know, Apple TV, what I've loved is I we both had one, you know, in the first, you know, week and a half or whatever. And, you know, there wasn't that many, and you're like, okay, this is interesting. That was one of our first complaints. It was like, there's not that much. But in the last, you know, couple weeks, you know, there's like 3,500 apps or something. And it's crazy, because it's what you were saying with my kids. Like my son's out there, my 5-year-old, he's out there and he downloaded 3 apps. He downloaded a Minions thing. He downloaded a Jump. He actually, I thought I had restrictions on. I had used some iTunes money to rent a movie, and I guess my password would save. I woke up the next morning, I had $45 of charges. Ooh. That he had charged, and I hadn't turned on the restrictions, I guess, effectively. Yeah. Apple gave me my money back.
Nice.
But it's, and I just saw a report earlier today that somebody spent like $5,000 on Jurassic World app. Like, wow. There's kids like something crazy, but
yeah.
But you can set restrictions, you can do that. But what I love is I love the diversity in the App Store. I think my kids are just getting it. We had some friends over, and we had like 8 kids in our house, and we had 6 of the kids passing the remote playing a game. And I think about this a lot with, you know, I struggle with the gaming platforms because like I have an Xbox One, but the games are kind of too adult for most of my kids. And I'm like, I don't really want to buy a Wii just for like Mario. Like, I don't want to spend all that money. But with Apple, you know, I could get free, or I can pay $5 and have like a killer game, and they could just be, it's fun. And what I love about it is that it's not just a game on your phone when it's just you, is that you can participate with multiple people. So they have multiplayer. I just think that whole world is just, it's just so, there's so much potential, and I love doing it together. That's the fun part, is like Mr. Crab, you can literally, that game can go on for eternity, but you can literally just go like, hey, you have a turn. Oh, look, you got knocked down. Okay, now it's his turn. And we're able to pass it, and it becomes an experience, less of like a singular experience. And so I think there's so much potential there, but I really love it.
I think too, as you see games that get connected, my daughter's right here.
I saw like an assassin in the background. That's like, awesome. I just wanted you to get like hit in the neck and you're down.
That does happen. She is quite stealth. That's my 6-year-old Emery. this is the life that we lead using technology.
I can go with my youngest. He's throwing up right now.
Awesome. that is our life. But it's fun to see the technology develop, and there's essentially no limits. And so as we've looked at the gaming world and what people are doing on their computers, the geeks, it's now, you know, $150 and you're connected to your TV, and that's a computer connected to your TV. And so I think, you know, I think about, you can play Mr. Crab with 4 different screens and everyone can have a little remote and be playing it, or you can play living room, my family, I can play your family, and Family Jeopardy or something. Does that make sense? And we see your family and we're interacting live. I think there's just going to be some fun connectional, relational engagement opportunities through the internet and through that device. So let's shift to the conversation about kids, because kids are taking over these devices. And it's amazing to me that my 6-year-old now, 3 years ago, she was running my iPad, you know, both of my kids have, so I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, both of them have, one has an iPad, one has a Kindle Fire. And they both know how to navigate them. It's probably 18 months that my youngest was doing the iPad, but it, you know, one of the things that freaked me out as a dad is my oldest daughter now, this is probably 3 years ago, she would just watch YouTube videos over and over again. And we just, you know, you'd watch one Elmo video and then play another one. And then one time I heard a cussing Elmo.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on? And somebody had just created an Elmo spoof. Well, YouTube had recommended that because you watched another one. And my daughter's sitting there watching it. And I thought, man, I've got to get some control, even on my, you know, 2-3-year-old daughter who's watching this. This isn't safe, this technology. And I hear that that's a common challenge for parents, is how do I let my kids use this technology? It's so intuitive to them. But how do I protect them? How do I shelter them? How do I create safeguards for them to use it effectively? And so I want to talk about that, but one, some safeguards for kids and how we lead in that way. And two is what are some creative opportunities around technology, whether it's mobile, whether it's Apple TV, what do you see coming down the pipe? So let's talk safety first. Yeah. Jay, what are you doing in your family, or what do you recommend to others when it comes to safety with their kids?
Well, I think for sure, we've had the same issues where our oldest, who's 5, he will just watch stuff on YouTube. And one rule we put in place, that he can't watch anything with commentary. Like if he hears people talking, because he went through this phase where he's really into these unboxing of these like eggs, and inside the eggs would be like toys. It was like the weirdest thing. I don't even understand why this YouTube account exists, but the guy had like millions of views. But he started watching certain things, but it's not the first or second. It's like the recommended you're talking about. And we would hear, I remember a couple of weeks ago, he was watching Mario videos, and somebody was doing a Mario mock video and sweared and said something. It's not even necessary words that are bad words. Let's say like, I'm okay maybe with him saying when he's a little bit older, but it's like casual words, it's angry words, the stuff that I just don't want him you shouldn't be saturating on and thinking about. And for us, we've definitely become more aware of the history of what he's watching. And so we make it very clear here, the guidelines. I also, we tend to not allow him to just freely browse on YouTube. We kind of let him go. But that's why I think things that I've already looked into when our kids get a little bit older, there's a lot. I think Disney has this where they created that filter.
The circle.
Yeah. So you can have, I casually looked at it and I'm looking at this idea that you're able to control more of the media that's come in. And I think it used to be like, I have my, my Wi-Fi modem deal router. It's a powerful thing. It can do all sorts of things. I can log on and I can control it, but it's just, it's made more for techie people.
Right.
In the sense of to be able to control what people are seeing. I could block sites on it. I can do all sorts of things. The thing's a powerhouse, but it's not user friendly. And I think what is going to become more prevalent in the coming years is we're going to be able to block things more easily. And your router is going to be able to, you're going to be able to attach things to it in such a way that, like the circle, that you're able to control what websites and maybe even words can be said. And I think, you know, we were talking about this with a friend. One of the features that we want to add to our tvapp.church is this idea that you can, on every video, it can document the audio that's recorded and that those words can be searchable. Well, if you can do that, you can reverse engineer it that any audio that's said on any device is that you can block certain words. And for example, if a video says, you know, let's say a word like crap or something that maybe you don't want your kids to be saying, you know, regularly, you can block that video. And I think YouTube is aware of this issue. And I think YouTube is going to be doing more and more to help be proactive. But I think there's going to be more controllable things. And obviously there's been tons of this already, you know, Craig Gross, from Triple X Church has done X Watch and different things like that, where they've done this a primarily, beginner levels, but it's going to become more robust. You know, do you know a little bit more about how the circle works?
Yeah. So we got one a couple of weeks ago and set it up. I will say that, it is way more intuitive than like the regular router controls, that were over my head. And I would say over 99% of people's heads. The circle, I would say, is still going to be maybe over about 50% of people's heads. It's at the end of the day, it's still complex. But if you're patient to figure it out, it's a really powerful device that connected to the router, which then connected to all of our devices, and we can control even bedtimes. We can control which apps they can use or not use. We can then see all the history. I mean, it just really creates a high level of accountability and filters. And I was amazed at just even how quick it worked. Of, I can turn off Netflix and that won't work, and I can turn it back on and it will work. and so what that the capacity of that device and what it's doing. So, and it all works from my iPhone. So there's an iPhone app. You download it, you control it, everything from your iPhone app. So much more intuitive, much easier to access. I highly recommend it. And so I think it's worth it. It makes me feel a lot more comfortable about the future of technology and my kids and what I can control. And it's real. You know, Disney obviously has the resources to create something exceptional in that way. Yeah. So I'm eager to see how it will continue to develop and grow. But you know, right out of the package, you know, 2 weeks in, I'm really happy customer and eager, just to get to know it better. But it's still, there's still a lot to it that I don't fully understand, or it's been a little quirky for me where I turned it off. I didn't realize I turned off Netflix or certain things where I'm like, I thought that the tablet was broken, you know, and the internet wasn't working. So
it's such a robust thing. It's like we have cable to, I think about how many devices and ways you can experience, but I think going to the router at the core, definitely the central way to, you know, handle that. But I think that's going to be the more robust. I definitely feel like, you know, we were talking about this before, you know, moving on, like talking about Netflix, they have the, they did something cool this year for New Year's Eve. They provided, you know, kids countdowns.
Yeah.
Thinking about the kids market, that obviously there's heavy users with the adults, but also they have tons, they have, you know, whole user experiences now dedicated to kids. And you know, we did this with our kids where on one of the options, we were able to do a fake countdown. You know, our kids go down around 9. And so we did a countdown at 9 o'clock, and we said, hey, you know, tomorrow's going to be 2016 and let's count down. And so that was fun. And I just think stuff like that gives me a glimpse of how, you know, you always have the early adopters and you always have that moving in. But with all this now is that now we're just becoming, this is just a household thing. And now they know that to keep somebody, you need to deal with the adult, you need to deal with the kids, and you need to provide a more robust experience. So I'm just pumped. And I think this was, it leads into churches, is that churches need to be thinking about, hey, how are you? So right now, primarily majority of churches' resources are dedicated towards the adults or the couple. And it's, how do you train everybody beyond that? What are some of your thoughts? I know you guys did the countdown too, right? Was it a good experience?
Yeah, we loved it. You know, so I would say when it comes to Amazon Prime, you know, and Netflix, 90% of it is stuff our kids are watching, you know, they've done a great job of that kids experience in creating a unique, you pick a profile when you log in and they can only watch certain things or recommend certain things. So I feel much more comfortable in those platforms, and they've really thought through that user interface and experience. We love the countdown. So when it comes to, I would say, church apps or church engagement that I've seen, and even as we translate our churches and take them online, that what's always lacked is kids. And so I've seen even student ministries live streaming or doing some things for students. But kids, I think people don't know what to do with. I know Life Church at one point created a unique platform, and I don't know if they're still using it. I went to their, you know, their church online campus and didn't see any links to it. But there's two apps that our kids, my kids use, especially my older one, is the Bible app for kids. It's a great app. The other one is a brand new one that Group Publishing just put out called Buddy Quest. And it's a fascinating game that you basically go on a quest or these different quests, and you earn things and you build this little land and characters, and a lot about character development, biblical stories connected to it. But I would say the connection between those two apps and I would say Mr. Crab is the gamification of the technology for kids. You know, kids naturally love the points. They love the rewards. They love getting the token. My daughter, I told her, you know, I kind of picked up on that the other day. I was like, hey, if you do this, I'll give you 10 points. She's like, really? And she didn't know what the points were for, you know? And then by the time we got home, she's like, Mom, I got 12 points. And she never asked, what is she going to do with those points? Like, kids love points.
Yeah.
And so I think the gamification of some kind of experiences, but I think we've got to really get creative. And you know, one of the things we're doing at CBC is our children's pastor is recording little YouTube videos and doing like a 5-minute YouTube video, and we're sending it to the parents for them to watch it. It's a step towards some kind of engagement opportunity through the week. Yeah. And it's really made for our physical campus attenders. But I would say we have a long way to go. And honestly, it's hard to know where to start, because I know what Group Publishing put into that app, and I know what YouVersion put into that app.
Yeah.
This isn't something that just any church can go create a game and then they create a new level every week, you know? Or is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely becomes, there's some cost. And I think that's where part of this is where, just as a leadership team for your church, you need to be thinking about is, as you're planning things and you're thinking high level and you're thinking about technology integration, you already, if you're listening to our podcast, you're already thinking about it because you've committed to, you know, being on that front end and trying to figure out where people are going. But I would just say, you know, keep on as a church integrating technology, just not with your adults, but also with your kids, and thinking through how can you do on-demand training? How can you do spiritual growth training? All these things need to be integrated, you know, holistically. But I think looking at trends like Netflix, like, you know, YouVersion's doing stuff, Group Public, check that all out and figure out how you can do this strategically. Yeah. So,
I want to add one thing to that.
Yeah.
And this is, and naturally I'm a big fan of Group Publishing. They published my book. And I know the guys as well that created the game. I don't know whether it's going to be this app or another app, but I would say one of the great things about publishers like Lifeway and Group Publishing and Zondervan or whoever else is out there is you're essentially sharing development costs. And so if you have 500 churches that are going through the same curriculum, then they can all share that cost of creating this game that maybe has an app connected to it so that kids can be engaged throughout the week using it. I think the more churches can really either partner together or partner maybe with their denomination or, you know, Life Church, but create so many great things that they put out there in Open Church. But when you're sharing curriculum, you're sharing resources, I think there's that opportunity to create unique online experiences for kids that we can't do by ourselves. And so that would be my encouragement is, you know, as a church leader, look at what's out there, you know, and so BuddyQuest is one thing I'm aware of. Maybe there's more that I'm not yet aware of. But I think as we can really pour into these technologies, pour into these creative experiences, and have in our local churches and in our online churches, better engagement opportunities for kids through technology, because they're getting it through Mr. Crab and they're finding those opportunities elsewhere. And I love that there are a couple opportunities for them to get Bible engagement through these experiences, but there should be more.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm looking for and hoping to see more of. And I think it's going to be worth the investment.
So with that, if you got any ideas to share on this topic or any questions or even future recommendations for show topics, use the hashtag SMC podcast and make sure you visit socialmedia.church. Sign up for our email list. We give you a free full video session of our social media basics course. So go to socialmedia.church and sign up and you can get that course, that free session from our course right now. So thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.